Your home for classic hits, AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Looking for an enclosed trailer that works as hard as you do? Check out the Homesteader lineup at TC Trailers. Perfect for camping gear, moving, or hauling mowers, motorcycles, and equipment, Homesteader Trailers deliver quality at a great price. Choose the Challenger with its flat front and rounded roof, or the Intrepid featuring a sleek V-nose design. Find your perfect trailer at TC Trailers, just east of Frankfort, or online at tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back, Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
Big deals. Looking for more ways to save money? Aren't we all? Jenny here. Shop your local Big Deals online store. You'll find gift certificates to all kinds of local businesses, places where you already shop, restaurants you already love, and great local entertainment. The best part? All of these gift certificates are on sale at discounted prices. Get them for yourself or buy them as a gift. Shop and save. You'll be glad you did.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosierland TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
Hey, it is Party Line on this Thursday, a Thursday edition of Party Line. Shan Sheridan with you. Glad to be with you. And always appreciate Ryan and Brian coming in, talking about the streets and the parks department and all the things that they do. We greatly appreciate what goes on. Want to again remind you that the ice cream on the prairie has been postponed and rescheduled for Saturday, August 15th, 10:30 to 2 o'clock at Camp Cullum. ice cream on the prairie. Speaking of ice cream, the ribbon cutting for Shanta's is this afternoon, but also Cocoa Craft Roasters is going to be. We're having a combined ribbon cutting. We're partners in this little venture. And Ryan, Chris, Chris there with coffee, the Cocoa, which is Come One, Come All. That's the acronym. And Shanta's, which is the ice cream scoop shop. That's all this afternoon at 3 o'clock, the ribbon cutting. You're invited to come out for that ribbon cutting and enjoy. We can't have some ice cream on the prairie, but we can have ice cream right here on Clinton Street at 63 East Clinton Street, right next to Pepe's. So that's this afternoon. Hey, joining me in studio, Charles Bookwalter. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, Shan. I'm well, thank you for
asking.
Did you
survive all of the storms? We got through all of that.
It wasn't much where I live over in the northwest part of Boone County.
Yeah, but Morgan County and that area really got... Because you got a sister, brother that lives down in that area, right?
They live in Monroe County. Yep.
Okay, well, they got nailed down there. So Monroe, Morgan, really got some bad weather. So... Praying for all of those folks. Well, you know, regardless of if it was bad weather, fair weather, regardless of the weather, we had people in our country that fought through it all. And George Washington is one of those characters. And I say character because he has been characterized in so many different ways. You know, he's the honest George that, came clean on chopping down the cherry tree, you know that story. But he's the guy that also really pushed militarily, and he was not this awesome, I would say, outspoken guy that a lot of people would say had this ultra incredible personality. But he had a military mind. He was a strategist, and yet. He also became the father of our country, which is amazing to me how God could use such ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because he really was an ordinary guy.
Yeah, yeah. He endured a lot. One of his monikers was the bulletproof president, based on something that Ed, we'll probably talk about a little bit in this this divine providence leading this man and leading this nation.
I want to start with I want to start with the ending with George Washington, because this was something that came out of his farewell address in 1796. He says, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism, who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness." I mean, he laid it all out right there in his farewell speech, that all of these things are going to be in vain unless we have the indispensable supports of religion and morality.
That's right. George Washington, in my estimation, believed in a living God. He believed that like in the Old Testament prophets, that nations rise and fall based on God's divine intervention, and that your prayers aren't in vain. You're not praying to a void in the sky. That God works in our lives and
the
acts.
The universe.
Yeah, right. thoughts and prayers out the universe. But no, that God is a living God, and a lot of the things that happen, and he, if you read, because he wrote about this in some of his letters, that... like what we alluded to in the, what was the battle? It was the Battle of Monongahela, where in 1755, when he was fighting the French, I believe, on the British side, he was fighting against the Iroquois Indians, I believe, and he wrote about this in a letter back to his mother. He had 4 bullet holes in his coat and 2 horses shot out from underneath him.
Yeah.
That's when he earned that moniker by the chief that he was bulletproof, they said, because they met later with a chief that said, "I was at that battle. I told them to kill him, and he was bulletproof." And that guy later on said, that Indian chief later on said, that I knew then he was destined, and I told my people he was destined to lead a great nation.
Yeah.
In that battle, 70% of General Braddock himself was killed, and 70% of the of the colonists were killed in that battle, and George Washington was unharmed, and he later on writes that he believes that it was divine providence that saved him there.
Well, he uses that phrase often, divine providence. Divine providence in that individual scenario of in battle, the divine providence that took place in so many of the battles that, you know, I think about, the Brooklyn battle where the fog comes in, you know, and our guys are able to escape through the retreat from there in this dense deep fog, and the British, like, you can't see anything in front of you, and yet God brought the fog in, rolled the fog in, so they can be, they could escape.
Yeah, it's incidences like that, the escape from Long Island, 9,000 troops got out of there. And when I think about that, I think of the devices that we have now in contemporary warfare, where we throw smoke grenades.
Yeah.
Where we throw smoke grenades to mask our movement as a move. And that is something that we do, but something that God can do is intervene.
There was no smoke.
No devices like that. But it seemed like that. And, you know, you had said that despite the weather that we're having right now, people endured. That certainly isn't about me, but it really brings up a lot of things that I think about when I think about men that Knox's men moving 60 tons of cannons or crossing the Delaware in these frigid temperatures, many of them with no shoes. It was either no shoes in that, probably both, or the escape from Long Island, those 9,000 troops, they didn't have shoes.
Right.
They were freezing.
Crossing the Delaware.
And freezing cold weather on Christmas Day. Many people don't realize, a lot of times people ask me, what are some of the biggest lessons you learned from being a Green Beret?
Yeah, because you're a Green Beret in the military.
In the Special Forces. Yeah. And I think about things kind of change over time as I'm like, oh, that was something I learned there, really affected me or impacted me or my life right now. But one that never changes is, I am just amazed at what humans can do when given a mission. You know, when you put together triple volunteers, you know, we volunteer to go in, we volunteer for jump school, we volunteer for all these things to go in, and then they ask us to do things that you're like, there's no way I can carry this 120-pound rucksack with a man laying over it, because we literally did that. They would kill somebody, quote unquote, and you had to move them. We had no cots, nothing to do. You would put them over your own rucksack and carry. So you're carrying like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And you're walking. And I remember thinking to myself, and I'm paying for it now, certainly. Yeah. But I remember thinking, I can't believe we just did what we did. Or being out in the woods for 2 weeks in 33-degree weather. So it's not raining. Yeah. It's not snowing. Right. It's raining and freezing, and you're freezing, and you still accomplish these tasks. And that's what comes to my mind is like, and I remember myself being in there praying about this. A lot of introspection happens in those times.
Well, you bring a great perspective as a soldier, former soldier in the military, and a specialist in the military as a Green Beret. I look at that situation. If you also have people that are saying, I can't do this, and they leave.
No question.
And that happened a lot. That happened a lot, because these folks, I want to remind folks too that in the beginning, there in the revolution, especially at the very beginning of it, these people were just volunteering, and they were normally volunteering for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, I'm going to give you my life for 6 months, but I got to go plant a field. I've got to go take care of my family. And for 6 months, and so these regiments, they would come in and do, and George Washington was in situation, Henry Knox was in the same boat. There were times where their guys, it was a bad situation, and their time was up, and those guys either stayed and extended their time, but several didn't. I mean, many would just go back, and many just said, you know what, is this worth it? But you had those people like that Indian chief saw in George Washington, hey, he's special. Something's going to happen with that guy. And well, we know the rest of the story.
Yeah, it is. I think of, again, in my own training, it is the test of ultimate mind and body over these physical things. But ultimately, the test is of not giving up. Mm. When people ask me about going, like, what can I do to prepare? I'm like, you have to get in the mindset that this is what you want to do more than anything else, yeah, for whatever reason it is, and you will never quit.
Yeah.
You can never, ever, ever, ever quit.
Yeah.
You have to endure these things that you're not going to think that you could ever endure. And it's those who finally make it through that are those that never quit. And in fact, the Ballad of the Green Beret, is it sings that 100 men will test today and only three win the Green Beret. And it's fairly accurate when you look at those numbers of recidivism, I think it's what it's called, in the teams, that at some point most people quit or get injured or just don't want to continue doing it.
Well, and I think another characteristic is beyond the not giving up is a really strong heart of gratitude. And that's what I would see from George Washington. His character was always about, hey, we got to thank God. I mean, hey, we had the hand of God on us in this situation. And he was, in fact, he really is the father of Thanksgiving. I know everybody associates Abraham Lincoln with Thanksgiving. He made that declaration to make it a national day, but George Washington, with the Continental Congress, set the first Thanksgiving Day, actually.
Yeah.
And that was in 1789.
I think when I was doing some research about this, Shan, I think the greatest divine providence in that founding time with George Washington is what you had kind of just said about those other soldiers. They were farmers. Well, so was George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And this recalls a conversation I had with a surgeon when I used to work in healthcare. He asked me, of course we got into politics and stuff like that. And he said, what makes America so great? He was a foreigner. What makes America so great? And immediately the first thing came to my mind was, it was our president, George Washington, who twice gave up. The American Cincinnatus is what he was called.
Yep.
And if you look up the Roman Cincinnatus, the same thing, a farmer.
Left the plow.
That left the plow, went into service, and like George Washington was in charge of the only real institution at that time, which was the Continental Army. And he gave up that role and yielded to civilian law. And he did it again as president two times. And I told him that's what it was all about, that you know, he symbolized things like self-sacrifice, military leadership without ambition, submission of military power to civil authority. And I think that George Washington gets that from his understanding that he is a sinful, fallen man. He's not a secular humanist.
He's not a god.
He's not a god. And he understands that there is something way more powerful. He knew of that providence. There is something more significant, more powerful than him. And he was humble in that regard, which in the true Christian character, you will see that humility from powerful men.
And don't you think, and you know, maybe going down a little bit road of controversial, our controversy is that in this day and age that we get gaslighted a lot with all of this deism and all of that, what secularism and humanism, that, well, that's what these guys really believe. They didn't really believe in a sovereign God. They didn't really believe. And I think we just get gaslighted when you look and you research and you really take time, and I'm talking about not trying to find what you want to find, because you can find anything you want to find. You can read anything that maybe even a Thomas Jefferson or George Washington may have written. But if you read everything in context and read everything in a holistic and take a holistic approach, I don't see how in the world anybody can come up with a different conclusion that this country did not have that divine providence.
Well, Shane, I'm going to tell you, it takes years of public school indoctrination I'm sorry, you talk about being controversial. Yeah. And I just want to share with you one, because people do often say that about George Washington, that maybe he was a deist, although modern scholars don't really feel that at all. But in a letter to a Delaware Indian chief in 1779, George Washington wrote, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ." And he continues in that, but that is a clearly a direct reference to Christ as king and submitting to that authority. And so George Washington knew that. He lived it out. He wrote a book, the Civics of Virtue. I've got it in my bookshelf. I can't remember. But, you know, he lived that life. He, you know, kind of proved that. That's why it was King George who said if he steps away, he's going to be one of the greatest men in all history. If he steps away from that authority and does not come a monarch. Because, again, they were wanting him to be the king.
Yeah.
And he declined that, and King George said, yeah, if he does that, he'll be the greatest man in history.
But what I appreciate about George Washington, too, is that he did not look at himself that way. He was, like you mentioned, I think he looked at himself as a fallen person, a person, an ordinary man that has an extraordinary mission, a purpose that God put in his. And I would imagine with every battle, with every bullet hole, with every arrow, with every storm, with every snowflake, and every freezing day that they had to endure, he was being reminded of God's providence and God's protection.
Yeah. It reminds me, I think it was last time we talked about it, when people like, oh, I just think you need to be good. Hmm. Well, and you had brought it up. Well, you don't know the thoughts that go up, that occur inside that person's head.
Right.
And I could just imagine George Washington just thinking about his life in review, or that battle where he had four bullets and understanding it was divine providence, and then having to repent and suppress these probably real human feelings that he had about himself. Like, wow, I bet he could have had been very arrogant if he wanted to, and given in to those temptations, those human characteristics of thinking more of yourself than you really are. And he probably did a lot of repenting and praying, and like you said, having appreciation for the Lord to put him where he is and use him in the place that he was. And so he had to repent and ask, like, please don't let me stray from this path. Please don't let me give in to, think of all the sycophants he had around him telling him, we need you to be king. Yeah. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. And him, this one man, not on his own, but with the divine inspiration, being able to stop that.
Knew there was something more. Mm-hmm. So what do you say for people? I mean, again, as a soldier, Green Beret, a person that served our country, a historian, someone well-read, what do you say to the people that would say, you know, why are you talking about all this? This is boring. Why are you bringing all this stuff? This is ancient history. We're in 2026. What does that have to do with anything? What would you say to the people that would say, you know, this is stuff that we shouldn't even be thinking about?
I would encourage them to look up the concept, the biblical, theological concept of the nursing father, that our leader, everyone is so critical of leadership, but it's easy to be critical of leadership when you've never had to take on making decisions that are very difficult.
Yeah.
And understanding that it is better to rely or have trust in someone that has a biblical worldview and framework, that sees their roles as a nursing father. This was in
Romans 13 as a good government.
As a good government that punishes evil and incentivizes good. And so it is, people like George Washington understood that that is their role. And I think some of our own leaders understand that. And it's hard to make some of these decisions. But as a nursing father, we have to protect our citizens. We have to protect our way of life. We have to encourage that Christ is king above all things, and that this nation that was founded under biblical Christian values should be fought for. It should be encouraged, and it should be implemented in all aspects of our life and civil government and businesses and everything that you oversee.
Yeah, because I've got into some debate with folks about, you know, God in the public place, and in particular, having the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the school day, having a prayer at the beginning of the school day, or a Bible reading at the beginning of the school day. And I'm using school as an example. It could be really in any public institution. And they said, well, you know what? That was back in the old days, and we've come out of that. We're not relying. We got to rely on ourselves. And my respect my respectful response back to them is that, well, here's the challenge. We forget what we don't practice. If we don't practice those things, we have a tendency to forget those things. And that's one of the reasons why, as a coach, we repeat and repeat and repeat the same play over and over. And coach, we've been running this. Run it again. The guard's not pulling the right way. You know, we say that over and over again. You got to run it again. And I think that the repetition, if we would still be doing what, you know, I believe that we did back in the 50s, can you imagine? And I also think that young people see in the adults that they hold this dear, and they hold that this is something that is important, and it's a priority. We're going to start our day acknowledging that there's a higher power. We're going to start our day acknowledging that it's not just about me. I have a feeling we'd have a different society today.
Yeah, my response to someone that asks that question or has that thing like, why aren't this is antiquated? Shouldn't we just rely on ourselves? My response is, and how has that worked for you?
How's that worked out for you
relying on yourself? Like, if really do some introspection in your life and see, like, when you gave in to anger or when you gave in to whatever thing you were lusting for, how did that work out for you?
Yeah.
Probably not very well.
Yeah.
And it's just a cold, hard truth. And, you know, recently this is just came up in the news that the PCA, the Presbyterian Leadership Authority, just came out with a new covenant or something. It's over 2,000 pages. But in it, they said they had more of an attack on Christian nationalism, and they said that this nation, the American nation, should welcome all religions, not just Christian denominations, but universally accept all religions. So there's a lot of now Presbyterian ministers coming out and saying, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Denying that Christ is king over this nation is denying that Christ is king over all things. Yeah. So I know that's controversial, but that literally is what people like me and others are fighting for.
Well, and folks would say, well, we're a melting pot. We're supposed to be bringing... No, we are a gathering place. And I think what happens in that gathering is that when you have that... It's like coming to my house, you know, we're going to pray before our meal. Okay, I don't care if I got a grandchild that's an atheist. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray in my house,
yep,
on our property. We're going to pray.
As for me in my house,
for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it's okay. And you're always welcome. You're going to be welcome at the table.
Yep.
And you don't even have to bow your head. You don't even you can even sneer and snicker. Mm-hmm. That's up to you. But for me in my house. And I think that is the dynamic of this whole thing is that we have absolute, unequivocal proof that this country was built upon those precepts.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. I just don't, it's hard for me because I have these conversations with a lot of people and close people and people that are educated, and they'll just say something cliche like, oh, the separation of church and state. And they don't even understand what that means. They do not understand where that came from. They don't understand who all the founders of the nation, where they came from. They were the pilgrims. They were all Christian denomination, something we already discussed. They have no idea of that because it's just so easy to say a slogan that you learned in some liberal education system in college. And unfortunately, the only conclusion I came to, Shan, is that we have a lot of people that have been indoctrinated into a way of worldview.
And completely ignorant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But are ignorant. And ignorance, not in the sense that you're stupid. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Uninformed.
Yeah. You're uninformed. And you've bought into a certain mind. And you say, well, what about Christians? They indoctrinate. Look, there is more freedom in Christianity than anything.
That's why we are where we are, because Christians are so tolerant.
That's right.
We have been so tolerant, and those denominations that came over, they wanted religious liberty for all. They were very tolerant of each other's denominations, but essentially, they believed in the essentials. But that tolerance has led to where we are today, where you can't pray in a public, or that people say, you can't bring your Christian religion into any public space. Well, that is just not true.
That's right. That's baloney. Brother, appreciate you. It's 9:30. Hard to believe it's gone that quickly. But George Washington, what an incredible example of a man. And did he have his flaws? Absolutely, he had his flaws. He struggled with a lot of things, but he stood when he needed to stand. And I believe that he stood on the principles and the precepts of God's word, which allowed us to have the birth of this nation, and we're grateful, forever grateful. Thank you, brother, for coming in today.
Thank you, Shan.
Charles Buchwalter being with us today. I appreciate Ryan and Brian being with us earlier. Until next Tuesday, good Lord willing, I'll be back with you. Have a wonderful weekend, and be obedient. Maybe God's calling you to do something. Maybe God's calling you to be the next George Washington, or maybe God's just calling you to be the next best father in your home, or mother in your home, whatever the case may be, or just a great kid that wants to do the right thing and volunteer. And, you know, we need that. And it's okay. It's all right to be that way. Don't let the world, don't let everybody else tell you differently, because we need more people that are willing to have some fundamental guidelines and precepts that have come from, I believe, the Bible. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Be obedient, be courageous. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.